Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in for Mitch and Paul here. They'll be back on the desk tomorrow. Appreciate you guys being with us here on Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody out there. So your channel 158, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours, as we are looking at a 7-7 game between the Vikings and the Lions. 26 seconds left in the half. Vikings lining up to punt this thing away, but might be down Aaron Jones, as it looked like his leg bent in a direction that was not going to be good for him maybe playing the rest of this game, Jeff.
No, looked bad. Looked very bad. The Lions are going no punt returner, by the way. They're going 11 up to rush the punter right now on this punt, which is like super rare, but with only 20 seconds left in the half, why not? You're not going to make a play. So the Vikings are able to get the ball off, and this will be the end of the first half, 7-7 here. So that's great. I don't think I've seen an 11 up rush like that in a long time.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then the punter still punted in the end zone. He still punted it in the end zone. It's like, bro, take a little off of it, you know, take a little off of it. But instead, it will be a touchback.
I think the Lions are going to win this game. The Vikings, anytime Brosmer goes back to throw the ball, just no chance whatsoever, just zero chance.
Yeah, it is back out to, well, went back down to 6. It was at 6.5, back down to 5.5 now in favor of the Lions. 36.5 is the total, plus 260 on the money line for the Vikings here in this. So Lions do get the ball coming out as well. So something to keep in mind that I don't know if they're going to try to double dip here, but they're not taking a knee.
It's interesting that they didn't take a timeout earlier then.
Okay, so now they're gonna end it. Goff gets sacked, so they're just gonna run off the field at this point. So there we go.
Who got the sack? Taken those sacks over. That would have helped. I couldn't get it live though.
So we will go to halftime, 7-7, Lions and Vikings. It is 6.5 on the live line in favor of the Lions. 35.5 now on the total, 270. On the money line for the Vikings. There are four very interested people in the second half in this one, as they have survivor entries on the Vikings. Yeah. If you're wondering why, if you weren't here with us earlier, yes, they were forced to take an underdog, did not have a favorite that was available to them this week. So four entries there on the Vikings. And, you know, listen, it's 7-7.
Yeah.
You're still live.
I have the Vikings in a teaser for, I don't know, a quarter of a percentage point of what the survivor entry is worth, probably even less. My math is not very good. And I'm pissed at watching Max Brosmer play. Imagine having the money on the line here. Now, I'm sure they've hedged, right? But still having the money on Max Brosmer and watching him turn, you know, step back to pass and just immediately get engulfed by any pass. Like, he's no idea where the ball. I mean, you're going to need the Lions. The Vikings got what they've gotten, two turnovers so far. Like, they've done what they had to do to stop the Lions offense. The problem is the Vikings offense is just, there's just no chance. They're just not playing well. I thought Brosmer would look better, to be honest with you. I'm a little surprised at how bad he is playing right now. But in any pure passing down, we talked about this earlier, right? Like, if you're not ahead of the chains, he looks completely lost. Mm-hmm. So if you win first down, make second down easier, the offense can function. The problem, of course, is that they're not winning first downs as often anymore. Any sort of situation where they're behind in the game, they get no chance. They're going to have no chance in this game.
So we move on here talking about games in week number 17. And as I look at this spread, Jeff, I kind of start to realize that maybe the Cincinnati Bengals are going to get some love in Survivor this week. Remember, five entries have already advanced. So five entries will have to make another pick here in a couple of days for week 17B of the contest. And Cincinnati's a 7.5-point favorite at home over Arizona. And I wonder if we get some love here on Cincinnati, which is going to be fairly interesting, but we might as the touchdown favorite here over Arizona. Again, Arizona has a million injuries, both sides of the ball, up and down, left and right. Defense is like completely, completely trashed. But the defense of Cincinnati continues to be one of the worst in the NFL. How confident would you be in putting your massive multi-million dollar ticket on Cincinnati this week?
not great, but do we know, is there a way to find out what these teams have left and not used yet? Is it difficult to find out? They don't let us know that type of information.
No, I can, it's all public information. I can look it up.
I'm kind of curious like what their choices are going to be, because the Bengals make a ton of sense if you don't have like Seattle left over or the Rams, right? I mean, those are probably been used already is my guess. So the Bengals, even like if you had the Patriots still alive, that'd be a spot to use the Patriots. But otherwise, again, the Bengals is probably the best of the teams that you would have left available, right?
Yeah, I mean, you look, and it's like one of those things where I wouldn't love it, but it's a home team. You like it that you like that they're at home. It is a completely decimated defense on Arizona's side. Like I said, they lost two more starters last week. Buda Baker is questionable to go this week. I mean, why do you even roll him back out there if you're them? You know, unless he really is going to be okay. I don't know why you would put a 70% Buda Baker out there as it is. I mean, I don't know. It might be a really good. I mean, it might end up being a weirdly good option.
Yeah. Well, look, the Bengals, we know offensively they're going to bring it, right? They are. The Cardinals, dome team outside playing in the cold weather with nothing to play for, and they've gotten worse, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they had that stretch where they were sort of fun for a little bit. They're just really, really bad right now. So yeah, the Bengals would be a smart play, I feel like.
Yeah, pretty amazing that we're sitting here in week 17, a team that's completely dead from the playoffs and has a defense as bad as they do might be the actual play this week. But I think, and honestly, Jeff, I mean, I'm 7.5, get it down to 1.5. You know, I think the shine is kind of worn off here of Jacoby Brissett. I think that defenses, even bad defenses, have kind of figured out he just drops back and spams Trey McBride and Michael Wilson like over and over and over and over again. The success that they were having when he first took over has not translated the last couple of weeks as well. And so I think there might be kind of enough film out there of his tendencies where these defensive coordinators are kind of figuring out what he's able to do. So even a bad Cincinnati defense can probably limit what Brissett does. And if you want to put these dudes in a teaser leg and they've only got to win by 2 points, yeah. I don't hate it, actually. I can't believe I'm saying that again for the Cincinnati team that has such a bad defense, but I kind of don't hate it.
Yeah, it does feel like that would be maybe the way to go in a teaser leg. So that would be interesting if that was the way that you wanted to play that. And again, I mean, that's a good way to make that happen. So curious to see, obviously, if people do that. I'm trying to find the list of teams available. So kind of now I'm sort of curious to see if who everyone has left for this week. It's easy to find past weeks. I'm trying to find this week. So kind of curious.
Yeah. You can look, they post like nobody has Seattle, if you're wondering. And nobody has the Rams. So like of those teams, nobody has any of those, which would be, again, you know, some of the choices that maybe you would want to look at. Nobody has the Patriots. So a lot of the popular teams have all been kind of like used up at this point, which is curious. Like I said, I'm wondering if we look at a week where, only one entry has Jacksonville. Jacksonville, I guess, could be an option.
Okay.
This week, if you wanted to go that way. But Cincinnati is available by 8 of the 10 remaining teams.
It does feel like that would be the way to go, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's so wild. That's what we're looking at. I can't even believe that's what we're looking at here this week. But, you know, again, makes a ton of sense. All right, so we are sitting again at 5. Oh, so people took the points with the Vikings. It's 5.5 on the live line now. So people took the 6.5 with the Vikings, despite that offensive performance that we saw in the first half. So it is down to 5.5 on the live line. 35.5 total plus 260, so a little bit of money line movement as well there on the Vikings. So I guess people did take what we said, Jeff. It can't be worse. If you've only got this much of it, yeah. It can't be worse.
I might try to middle this with the teaser and take the line. I have the Vikings minus 13 mm-hmm. and a half, and then I'll take the Lions minus 5.5 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I get something tonight at the minimum, at the worst.
I kind of, you know, and again, there's no numbers to back this up. And I guess sometimes, yeah. you know, we kind of have to go with feel or something, but the Vikings were gifted 2 turnovers by the Lions Correct. And couldn't do anything really with it.
Correct.
And you get an offensive performance by the Lions that wasn't all that great in the first half, and we're still sitting here tied. It does kind of feel like that this might be just like a Lions thrashing here in the second half.
That's where my head is at too. Mm-hmm. Their team total right now is 20 and a half. That's probably a good number for that. It didn't feel like playable, but yeah, I mean, it does feel like the Lions are just going to come out in the second half and just sort of take it to the Vikings, right?
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I guess we have a full Snoop Dogg concert going on here at halftime of this one. Okay, so this is what we're doing on the Netflix games. We're calling
that's correct.
Yeah, we're calling X players on AOL, and we're getting full Snoop Dogg concert. Well, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
it is what it is. Merry yeah. Christmas to everybody. Snoop Dogg for a halftime show with all this. When we come back, we will let you know how this thing shapes up before they get going in the second half and continue to run through any bets in our account here in NFL week number 17.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Jeff Schwartz in on the desk here. Is we still Snoop Dogg in here? Is that what we're doing? Are we still? I don't know, man. Yes, we are. We're still Snoop Dogging. So the one thing we talked about yesterday was how much we like the NFL half times because they're just rapid. You know, you go in.
Not today. Not special days.
Not today. Not today.
I mean, is it still? I'm looking right now because they made it the halftime longer.
It has to be, because we would already be kicked off by now. They still got to clear a stage off of this field.
Yeah, it says 1 minute till halftime's over, but that's a normal clock. I feel like that's not the actual clock that we're playing with now.
I mean, it can't be. Snoop Dogg is still doing the rap out there. Like, I mean, he's still doing the rap thing.
I like Snoop. I grew up in West Coast hip hop. Fantastic, but like, who is this serving? Like, we just want to watch football.
It's just like, come on, man.
Like that's what we're here for. Yes,
get us back to the game.
The ball. Get us back to the ball. Yes, that's what we're here to talk about.
So again, real quick, I'll give you the live line here on this one as we assume we will get back here pretty soon to football. 5.5 in favor of the Lions, 35.5.
Yeah.
The total plus 260 on the money line there in that one. I want to continue to roll through these Week 17 games. There are some very interesting ones and some that mean a ton, including this one, which is Seattle on the road at Carolina. Seahawks are 7.5-point favorites over the Panthers. 42.5 is the prevailing total here in this one. Yeah. As we know, Carolina is leading the division right now, and Seattle is still in contention for the number one overall seed, still in contention for the division. All kinds of stuff still there for Seattle. That defense heads on the road to a Carolina offense has kind of been up and down. You know, you and I said Bryce Young, very middling, you know, just kind of league average to slightly below league average. How is he going to fare here against this Seattle team coming in? Again, it is a touchdown, though. They're going to win by 8 points.
One second. I just put Netflix back on. What is happening right now?
I'm pretty sure we're still Snoop Dogging.
But there's like, is that Lainey Wilson, Snoop? Is that like,
oh, yeah,
is that
no.
the K-pop Demon Hunter band up there too? Like, what is
I don't know. We got fake. We have fake snow. We have fake snow, Snoop Dogg, and like a bunch of people that I don't know. See,
This is
where I'm no good to you.
K-pop Demon Hunters. My daughter would know all these artists.
Okay, I was gonna say like this is where I'm no good to you because I just listen to talk radio and podcasts and stuff. So like I don't know who that is. I don't know who any of these people are. I don't even know who the Lainey Wilson person is that you just talked about. I don't know about any of these people. But we're still going at halftime here, so plenty of time to get in your halftime bets if you want to do that. Get it going. So Seahawks and the Panthers, 7.5, 42.5 is the total. What do you think about Seattle winning by 8 points in this one?
So the Panthers have been very up and down this season, right? It has been a year when they have looked really good at Green Bay, the Rams at home, and then looked very, very bad. Two Saints losses. Now one was closer than the other one. One blowout loss to the Buffalo Bills. So it really depends on what Panthers team you're going to get. For 9 weeks in a row, they've won, loss, one loss, one loss. So what do you get? If you tell me what Panthers team you get, I'll tell you how the game's going to go. But we don't know. They've not been consistent. This game doesn't, quote unquote, matter, right? Because if they lose, they can beat the Bucs again in week 18, win the division. However, if they win this week, and the Bucs lose to the Dolphins, which I guess is possible, then the Panthers win the division now. So I'm curious how they play this game. I would imagine they play this game. Also, too, there's a little bit of thought in my mind about Carolina testing themselves against one of the better NFC teams to get ready for the postseason, right? It's a good opportunity for them to give it their best shot to see how they compare, almost like the Giants and Patriots in 07. I'm not saying the Panthers win the Super Bowl, by the way. Yeah. But it's the idea that, like, the game is, quote unquote, not important to them, but you play it important anyways, right? You make it a really important game for your franchise to test where you're at as a franchise. That being said, Seattle has mostly done very well in these games this season. And so, if anything, I would look to Seattle in this game. I'm not going to make a wager on it.
I kind of like Seattle here, but I think this is probably one of those where I'm going to stay away, considering we're already at the key number of 7. Like, you know, it seems very, very much in the realm of possibilities. This is like a 6 or 7 point game. And so with that, if I don't have a clear edge, and certainly my ratings don't have this as a clear one way or the other, probably get away from it. Maybe there's some props to be had in this one somewhere along the way, but we'll have to dig into that a little bit further. You were correct. It is K-pop Demon Hunters. Also, it was Andrea Bocelli and his son, Matteo Bocelli, out there with them as well. So I guess it is the K-pop Demon Hunters as well as the Bocellis doing this. And Lainey, you were right about the Lainey Wilson as well. So the Lainey Wilson is out there.
Who's the Bocellis?
Time to say goodbye, you know, like that time to say goodbye. That song. He does that one. That's the Andrea Bocelli. He's blind.
I know K-pop Demon Hunters because of my kids.
Yeah. So anyway, it's apparently this was just like a Super Bowl halftime level show, but we're doing it on Christmas for this game.
I tweeted out that I just want to watch football. People are not happy about it. Like, how can you not appreciate a concert? I want to watch football. That's what I'm here for.
You're like, well, two reasons. One, I want to watch football, and two, I don't have the sound on. So, like, yeah. So there's that as well.
Correct.
I'm not getting to enjoy the concert like you are. So
supposedly, I guess Snoop was good. I guess I don't know. People said it was good. I mean, I love Snoop. I hope it was good. I mean, the halftime show in L.A. with Dre and Eminem was fantastic.
Guys, what happens if you're in an accident this time of year and the other driver doesn't have insurance or nowhere near enough? Suddenly, those holiday plans take a backseat to medical bills, car repairs, or missed work. That's where Lasso Injury Law steps in. Experienced team knows the in and outs of uninsured and underinsured motorist claims, and they'll fight to make sure you're not left paying someone else's mistake. And if the worst ever happens, you're not alone. Lasso Injury Law is here to protect you and your family when you need it most. Call 702-625-8777 for a free consultation. No voicemail, no runaround, just real people ready to help. Again, Lasso Injury Law, they fight for you because your future matters. Visit lassoinjurylaw.com or 702-625-8777. So, Jeff, we said we knew the defensive plan for the Vikings coming into this, because Flores just does what Flores does. What percent, what blitz rate do you think that they had in the first half?
Oh, 68%.
69%
No
blitz
way.
Rate. Yes. 69% blitz rate. And they pressured Goff on 56% of that.
Which is why I wanted to, this is what I wanted to bet the sacks over live, which is not a thing you can do. I should have bet it beforehand. I do have a problem with the, with some of the pressure numbers. That's a personal beef I have with how they chart them, but they brought a lot of pressure. So, like here's my, I'll tell you my beef. We have time. Okay.
Yeah.
So most defenses now have quote unquote, like three defensive linemen, right? They have a nose tackle type and then two defensive ends. And then they have two stand-up outside linebackers. They're technically linebackers, right? But they're pass rushers. So that's what teams typically tend to do, right? So, for example, like the Vikings have Dallas Turner and Van Ginkle as outside linebackers. They're, listed as, they're pass rushers. We count them as offensive linemen in our count. So if they bring five, the three defensive linemen and the two pass, that counts as a pressure. To me, that's not a pressure. That's just the five known rushers that are rushing on, especially in base, in a base look, which happened on this play right here. They brought five guys on a run. That's not really a pressure that to, in my book, but that's how they chart them. So be it. The point is that the Vikings do dial up a ton of pressures and they'll continue to do so the entire game.
So the Vikings had 36 total yards of offense in the first half. And another little fun fact here, it is the fewest yards by a team that was either leading or tied at halftime since the Vikings in 2005, in which they had 6 yards at halftime and led the game 7-6. That's amazing. That's a really good fact right there, actually. That's a great fun fact.
I'm very glad I got off the Vikings, because this is like, it just, you know, two guys just whiff on St. Brown. He gets a 5 yard carry, takes it up to the 10, gets a first down. Like, this just feels like the Lions are going to take over in the second half. It really does, doesn't it?
And yeah, it's kind of, we talked about it, you know, before. It seemed like it was kind of simmering there. And this also just goes to show how hard it is to play quarterback in the NFL. And if anybody I mean, bros were just, he's just not the dude, right? I mean, he doesn't have a shot, you know? And it's one of those things where there's only 32 of them and only about half of them are really, really good at it. Just think about that. There's only like 16 of these people in the world. It's absolutely amazing. When we come back, we'll keep you updated here as we are going in the second half and give you some NBA updates as well.
Is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Follow the Money here on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. The Lions do have to punt the ball back to the Vikings. We'll see if the Vikings can show any sort of offense, as Max Brosmer had 27 yards passing in the first half. He had, and there was 37 yards by Aaron Jones, but we got to see if Aaron Jones is going to come back out. It was a pretty bad looking leg injury to him as we were heading to half there. So we'll see if he heads back out on the field in this one, Jeff. And then the Detroit Lions safety Thomas Harper is being evaluated in the concussion protocol. By the way, guys, if you remember, this is like their safety number seven. Like they're like the first five strings are all on IR and whatever. So like you're like seventh guy is now maybe hurt in the secondary for this Lions team. I mean, it just, they cannot dodge the injuries in the secondary.
No, but the thing about it is that the Vikings haven't shown the ability to take advantage of it. They can't pass the ball today. So maybe they come out with a different offense. I doubt it. Another interview. Chris Carter, another Netflix interview. I just want to watch football, man. He's got a dog in his lap.
Certainly they're going to.
Oh, Jones is back.
He's back. Man, that it looked like his leg went the other direction.
This is kind of dumb. Because you assume the risk whenever you wager on a prop that someone gets hurt on an over.
Yeah.
But I would have gotten my money back if he had just not played the second half.
Yeah.
I would have got an early exit on that. So because he's not gonna, I mean, he can't move. Like, I don't think he's gonna get over now,
man.
Selfishly, that would have been better for my wager, but I have the Vikings, you know, in a teaser. I'd like for him to play well. That would certainly be helpful. And then, of course, the people that have the, you know, in Circa Survivor, mm-hmm. I would imagine want Aaron Jones back on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, I just can't believe it. I mean, it looked like his knee bent the wrong direction, and yet here we had come out of halftime, and he's back in there. So we'll see if they can do anything at all on the offensive side of the ball. I wouldn't hate, and you tell me how difficult this is. Because we did, like I said, I saw Jacoby Brissett do it. Is there a world where you don't just tell Brosmer, like, okay, your read every time is Justin Jefferson. Yeah, and then if he's triple teamed, fine, throw it somewhere else. But like, there was that game that Brissett threw it to Michael Wilson 17 times, and he had 13 catches and whatever and all of this. And it's like, you've got Jefferson out there against this banged up secondary. Is that crazy to tell a young quarterback that?
You just threw to Jefferson on 3rd and 9, a 7-yard completion. So I imagine Jefferson's supposed to run that route at 10, not in 7. So he got it. He found him.
Yeah.
He found him, but not good enough to get anything going here. I mean, I don't know what the route was supposed to be, but it was 3rd and 9, and he was running a little kind of curl, and he did it at 7 yards. So that's not great. Now they have to punt the ball back to the Lions, and we'll see if the Lions can muster anything offensively. I mean, they've just been kind of stymied the entire game. Can't run the ball very well. All the throws Goff has made tended to be under pressure. We talked about the pressure rate, how much they blitz. So now the Lions get the ball at about the 31, I think, with forward progress here, and we'll see if they get on the board and score here. We're back to the Chris Carter interview. He has a dog on his lap.
He does have a little small dog, too, in his lap, a little tiny pooch there. We do have two NBA games that are final. The Cavs blew a massive first quarter. They had 38 points in the first quarter, outscored the Knicks 38-23, and then go right back out in the second quarter and get outscored 37-20 of their own. They lose 126-124 earlier to the Knicks squad, and then the Spurs go on the road against the Thunder and hand them their fifth loss of the season, 117-102, a 15-point victory for the Spurs on the road, 19-11 for Wemby, 29 points for Fox, and again, a rare off night for SGA. You just don't see those very often, but he finishes the game 7 of 19 from the floor, 1 of 6 from 3 as well, and you probably have to look no further than him kind of having an off night and why they lose by 15.
Well, the team just didn't shoot well. I mean, there was a period in the third quarter where the Spurs really slowed down, and they just couldn't make any shots. I mean, they were 11 of 44 from three. So that's not going to win many games when you're 11 of 44 from three. They were barely out-rebounded. Spurs have more turnovers, but the Thunder just couldn't get anything going offensively in the second half of that game.
The Golden State Warriors and Dallas Mavericks are at half right now. It is 71-58. The Warriors had a 40-point first quarter. We are looking currently, Cooper Flagg does have 12 points in this game on 18 minutes. He's also got 4 boards and assist as well. So Cooper Flagg getting it done out there for the Dallas Mavericks. But over on the other side of things, you got Steph Curry has 10 points, not doing it from three, actually, just getting to the line, 5 of 5 from there. Jimmy Butler with 8, Draymond Green with 5. So we'll keep you updated on this one as it goes. Al Horford, 12 points in 7 minutes. They're turning back the hands of time here for that one. Oh, Minnesota gets to Jared Goff again?
I told you the sack prop, it's hypothetically, I probably would have cashed it.
Yes.
2 sacks now since then in hypothetical wagers. I want to know. I mean, that's the internet anyways, right? You just claim, like, wins when you don't actually wager on games. And you have, Goff threw an interception. That's an arm punt, though, in 3rd and forever.
Yeah.
So that's not a big deal. That's a punt, essentially. Is that David Shaw on the Lions staff? Is that true? That was an arm punt. I don't really worry about that. But now can the Vikings do it? This is the third. I mean, look, they forced the third turnover, called arm punt, whatever you want. I mean, that's the third turnover Lions have had in this game.
That was, it was an arm punt, but they were in his face rapidly. So they blitzed again and, like, just ran straight through almost unimpeded to get into his face. I mean, like, this is, we said they blitzed on 69% of the downs in the first half. It feels like they've done it on 100% of the downs here so far here in the second half. And so it's just, that's their game plan. We knew that was going to be their game plan. It's working so far. So why get away from it? And we're still 7-7. The Vikings are going to take over.
Yeah, they are. So they're sticking with it. I mean, look, I guess you just keep chipping away and chopping away and hope that, all of it works out. You know, get a touchdown here, scoot one across, and you feel probably pretty good about where you are. But the Lions are just saying, you're not running on us anymore, Jones. He had a couple big rushes early, and they know they can't throw the ball. So can he generate some sort of offense? How do you get the play action pass? You move the pocket, you screen. To your point, you block him up and just say, Justin Jefferson, run as fast as you can. We'll throw it high and hope you make a play. I mean, that might be part of it as well.
So let's get to another one of these games here in week 17 that I think will have at least a little bit of interest. And I think that there's going to be some people paying attention to Jacksonville and Indy, mainly because they want to continue to see if the Jacksonville team continues to steamroll these teams they're supposed to. I mean, they're 6.5-point favorites on the road. Again, I know they do home field advantage. I don't necessarily do that. So you have to assume that means from a power rating standpoint, they're 7.5-8 points better here than Indianapolis. 48.5-49 is your total in this one. I will admit, Jeff, coming into this season, I did not think that this defense was as good as it's been all season long. I thought it was going to be a middling. I think it was going to be bad. I just thought it was going to be more of a middling type defense.
Correct?
Yeah, Jacksonville. Instead, they've been a top 5-6 team all season long. Good. I know the schedule isn't incredibly daunting, but again, you get it done against every team every single week. I'm still going to give you credit for that. And then Trevor Lawrence, has he finally figured it out? Did it take Liam Cohen coming to town to get this going? Like, is Trevor Lawrence finally good?
We have to consider it. He's playing much better football. Look, when you have a new coach and a new quarterback, when they work together for the first time, it does take about 12-ish weeks to start knowing if the relationship is working out or not. We've seen it in Jacksonville working. Chicago is starting to work now. And, you know, Philly, I think it's not working very well, right? So that's when you start seeing it. So I will give them credit because that's the time that you typically see a little bit of that improvement happening. And so it is on schedule. It's good. They're going to probably win the division. Going to have a home playoff game. Right now it looks like they're going to host the Buffalo Bills. That would be a very, obviously, big game, important game for them here. So, but as far as this game here, I just think the Colts, their defense is bad. All right. I bet on them to miss the playoffs when they were, I think, 8-1 because the defensive numbers were really bad and the schedule was going to be really tough. And the Jones had a broken leg. And now we're seeing when the offense isn't as good and they're stopping Jonathan Taylor. Phillip Rivers is a fun story. I'm going to ask you this question. Was Phillip Rivers this liked when he played?
No, he was not.
He's like a revered athlete now.
Yeah.
He was not this way when he played. It's so funny to me that now people are cheering him like he is their favorite quarterback of all time.
Well, too many people are living vicariously through him. There's too many people like me who are of the same age and thinking like, oh, let me get my fat butt off the couch and go out there and huck passes around in the NFL. If he can do it, I can do it. It's just like they find it endearing that he's doing it. But I think it's going to come to a screeching halt this week. I laid it with Jacksonville on the road. This is a very, very important game for Jacksonville, and I believe in that defense, and I believe in Trevor Lawrence. And with no corners, Charvarius Ward on IR, Sauce Gardner on IR, I think that they carve him up as well. So I did, in fact, lay the points here. In pocket plays when we come back here on Follow the Money.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1. You're right.
Yes, it is In Pocket Plays here. The bets that we already have in our account. And I will kick things off here with Justin Herbert rushing yards, and we talked a little bit earlier about how pathetic this offensive line is for this Chargers team. And in comes, oh, by the way, the team with the highest pressure rate in the NFL and two different dudes with over 10 sacks on the season. If you go in and look over the course of the entire season here, Jeff, any team with a pulse on the defensive line, Herbert has gotten to this number rushing. Against Denver, he went for 30. He went for 38. He's gone for 37. He's gone for 60 a couple different times as well in this. I really, really like this this prop here. Him taking on, by the way, one of the more instinctive runners too. He's really, really good. Like, he feels pressure and he understands, like, I got to get out of here.
He does.
And he's been very, very good at that. And I think, unfortunately for him, he's going to be under pressure a ton. So I like the rushing yards over on Herbert. I laid it with the Saints. I just think they are a much better team than the Titans. I understand it was fun last week with the Titans going in against a completely dead Chiefs team and what they did. But this Saints team is playing much, much better. And if you go since week 10, this would surprise most people, and I bet you would get it wrong. The number one defense EPA allowed in the NFL since week 10 is the New Orleans Saints. So they are going to, I think they're going to make life rough there on Cam Ward and that Titans team. And I just mentioned about how I laid it with the Jags. Important game. I believe in the defense. I believe in Liam Cohen. I mean, he's a rookie head coach. And Jeff, you've probably played for some coaches that got better over the course of the season. I mean, this was a dude that first time head coach. He goes in and maybe it was a little bit of an adjustment period. I think this team has looked much, much better each and every week. And I think they're going to put it on the Colts that are absolutely dead. So love those three plays, all three of those in the account for me.
I have a few in the account. I got Chiefs team total under. Now it's 12.5. Now it was 10.5. I got 10.5. I got the worst number. I think they might be shut out tonight. They couldn't score when they had an actual quarterback. They have, and think about it too, like right now, Andy Reid is not creative enough to come up with a different offense. Like when Malik Willis comes in, the Packers have this whole offense ready to go. The Chiefs just don't have that right now. They don't have that right now. So that's something that I think is an issue for them. I think that they're not going to score tonight. The energy in the stadium is going to be weird. No one's going to be there. Like all those things are going to be issues for the Chiefs tonight. So I got the under team total there. I also like the under in the Houston and the Chargers game at under 39.5. We talked about this with the pass rush on both sides, with the inability at times for these teams with their offensive lines to have consistent offense. I think both teams are going to play a style that leads to essentially under football as well. So I am on that one in pocket. And the other one, I haven't done it yet because I think the Bears, the Niners travel schedule is kind of tough right now. The Bears played Saturday night in Chicago. The Niners played Monday night in Indianapolis. They have to fly all the way back to San Francisco, get ready to play a game. So they have short rest. The Bears have long rest. And the Niners can't rush the passer. They can't. I think this is going to be a very close game. I haven't done it yet, but Bears plus 3 is really piqued my interest.
And those are our plays here, guys. Again, you can find all of these over at VSiN.com. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, head to the picks page. If you're not yet, we're running a special, $79 from now until May the 1st. So be sure and take advantage of that. The drive did stall, Jeff, but a field goal up and good. Yeah, so the Vikings.
Goff just threw an interception.
Vikings 10-7, and Goff just gets picked.
By Harrison Smith, my guy.
Can you imagine how you must feel if you're one of these people that had to take a dog today in Circus Survivor and you pick the Vikings and they're leading 10-7 late in the third and you just get an interception? The Lions continue to hand the ball over to the Vikings. This one, I don't know what, I mean, Jared Goff just.
I told you like the Vikings.
Yeah, this is,
I did a little peanut. I put a little peanut parlay on with a Vikings money line was in the peanut parlay. So we'll see if they. Are they going to get home? Are they actually going to get home here? Like, are they going to score a touchdown here? Or are they just going to like kick another field goal in the line?
That is the problem, which is this is all fine and dandy, and they've given it to you four times in the game, but you've only turned it into 10 points. And if you don't score a touchdown here and you kick a field goal, all you do is incentivize them to be more aggressive and go for it on fourth down and all the things like that, because a six-point deficit almost helps the other offense out. So I'm with you. It's like, great, but do something. Do something with it.
I mean, the Lions, I think, are -4, right, in turnovers. The Vikings don't have a turnover today.
Correct.
And it's a three-point game, which is, like, extremely rare to have a -4 turnovers on the road and still be in this game. So Chandler rushes for 5. I mean, it's 3rd and 6 now. I mean, have the Vikings seen a screen? Like, they have a screen in the playbook, like any sort of screen, like something? Because Brosmer drops back and immediately just looks to run. Like, he's no confidence whatsoever.
Yeah, it's been a bad performance for sure, but who knows? Maybe this defense, and this was kind of the X factor that we said, right? Which was, this defense is what could possibly make this game interesting. And so far, that's it. They've got 4 turnovers. Can the offense do anything to maybe capitalize on this? Again, it's long field goal range.
Throw the ball.
Oh no. Did he get sacked?
No, like, you got to throw the ball, bro. You got to get rid of the ball.
I'm going to say, I thought you were a tick ahead of me here. He throws it away. So I guess we'll get a long field goal attempt.
He got to throw the ball, man.
So 10-7, 2:02 left in the third quarter. The Vikings, 4 turnovers of this Lions team and have only turned it into 10 points. We'll see if they can get up a long field goal here and make it 13 points. But boy, this is looks like a lot of wasted opportunities, and I will hate it for those 4 Circus Survivor tickets out there if they end up losing this thing, because that is absolutely brutal. So we're going to get a 56-yard attempt up and good. 56 up and good. So 13-7, the old 6-point lead. What could go wrong? 6-point lead.
Brosmer, just to throw the ball, man, please. It just, how you had no, don't have something easy for him to throw the ball, man.
It seems like, and I respect Kevin O'Connell a lot, but it does seem like you didn't come out with, like, the easy throws here. You know, like the quick, easy throws to kind of get him in rhythm and get things going. We hadn't seen that at all.
Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. So, look, the Lions, I mean, does feel like they're 1 touchdown away from winning this game by a point, right?
Yes. And that's going to, this, we can almost name the score here at this one, right? It's going to be 14-13.
I think so,
yeah. Guys, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating right now. You can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings absolutely free, plus save 50% off site-wide when you shop at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. So again, don't wait. 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings absolutely free when you spend $129 or more over there at omahasteaks.com/VSIN, omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A lot goes into making a production. I know a lot of people are sitting here clowning on Netflix and all of that, but I do want to give a shout out to our crew here behind the desk working on Christmas Day, making us look good. Well, I would, this jacket, I would look good anyway, making me sound good to the people out there on the radio with all of that, the graphics, all the things we're going on here, being in here on a holiday, giving up time with friends and family and stuff like that. Do appreciate that a ton. So each and every one of you guys appreciate that. And, Jeff, you sitting in last couple of days, appreciate you making the time here. We've had an awesome discussion. It's always great to get to talk NFL with a dude who has lived it and walked it. I sit here and act like I know what I'm talking about. You actually been on the sideline, so it's been fun, man.
I wish that meant I won all my wagers, but I do appreciate that. It's good to be here talking ball with you guys, and hope everyone had a good holiday season. And looking forward to, look, the NFL's got a couple weeks left, and then my Ducks play on Thursday at noon Eastern. So I haven't started freaking out about the game yet. I'm sure I will at some point. And hopefully we make our I'm a Chiefs fan. I told people that if I have to trade a Chiefs bad season for a Ducks championship, I would gladly make that trade anytime I can do it. So hopefully my Ducks can get home for me in the next couple of weeks.
Guys, don't go anywhere. Primetime follows us. Cashing Out will follow that. And, of course, we're back to everything normal here on Friday as well. Mitch and Paul will be back on the desk for Follow the Money and everything you love about VSiN here all day on a Friday. We will see again right now, 3.5 on the live line in favor of the Lions, even being down the 6 points here in the game. So we'll see if they can pull that out. For Jeff, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your bets.